Well, I think we're rolling, Miss Lisa McLeese-Kelly. I appreciate you so much for coming on the podcast and giving me the opportunity to talk to you a little more today. We've been friends for a while. I think we've probably been friends for 6 or 8 months at this point.
Almost a year, I think.
Yeah. Man, that's been so long. How are things been? You're in Oregon. How are things over there?
Well, the sun's out today. There's no rain. So right now it's really good.
I think the first time we met was like right around the time all those wildfires were going on.
Yeah.
So at least not everything's on fire over there.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of housing out here. So we're really hurting for affordable housing at this point.
Wow. That's tough. How is the market kind of reacting to that?
Well, low interest rates and just makes the housing prices go higher and higher. So it's even more unaffordable.
Yeah, we're experiencing some of that too. I think Georgia took the biggest hit of, if you're comparing it to 365 days ago on March 1st, we're like 49.7% down on housing inventory.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's selling their house because they want to make $100,000 on their house and then overpaying on their next house by $100,000.
Right.
You're getting a bigger house, you're getting a nicer house, but you're just spinning your wheels, and I think the market's probably going to level out in 6 or 8 months and we're going to get back to reality. And, I'll have the opportunity to take a look at buying a house at a reasonable rate, because going from not selling a house and looking to buy one in the first time, I'm just like, man, I'll just wait. I'll keep renting until everything's not 25% overpriced.
Yeah. It's a little crazy.
Yeah, it is. How's business with the automotive stuff?
We are busting at the seams. So we just hired another technician at our other shop. And so now we have 8 technicians there and 6 here in Grants Pass. And we're running out of places to put them.
One's in Medford, right?
Yeah, so Medford and Grants Pass. Yeah.
How far are those apart from each other?
It's about 30 minutes.
Are you guys adding... is the next step more locations, or are you just going to kind of keep what you got going on?
We're kind of looking at possibly a third location here or actually in Nevada. Mm. So we're looking at both.
Wow. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting. One of my big clients is in Las Vegas right now, and I asked her, I was like, how open is Nevada? She was like, oh, it's pretty open, very strict on mask. I was like, that doesn't seem very open. But yeah, she's out there right now. That's exciting, though. That's very exciting. I hope that goes well with you. Keep me included when you guys do that. We'll do some more of this stuff and put some stuff out for it so you can talk about it some more.
Well, thanks.
How much time are you spending with the automotive stuff now? Does that take up a lot of your day-to-day?
No. I spend probably, it just depends on what's going on, but 10 to 12 hours at the shops. They're pretty well run, pretty well oiled machines. We have managers in place and we get a daily accountability sheet for both of them, letting us know what's going on. If something's going on, like we just recently had a death in an extended family from our shop. So I've spent more time here this week just checking in and making sure everybody's okay.
Sure. And so that means you spend a lot of the leftover time doing the coaching and that aspect of your business. Which is very exciting to me. I love that you have a business founder on creating connections and bringing value to other businesses. I mean, that's the name of our game, and that's really why I wanted to invite you and talk to you about it here, because I think you've got the right formula. I think that you guys have you're approaching this from a play of being business owners and being very helpful, bringing what you have to bring to the table and educating people and helping people more. So that's really why I wanted to bring you on here today. And we can kind of discuss, how we're doing business and how we're interacting with similar types of businesses. But again, want to say appreciate you coming on. But tell us, just give us some brief introduction about, who you are, where you're from, what business, is taking up the majority of your time now.
Yeah, so I'm Lisa McLeese-Kelly, and I am a leadership, communication, and culture coach. So like you said, I like to take the experiences that I've had here at our shops. We've been voted the best auto repair shops in our valley 10 out of the last 11 years and voted one of the top 100 companies to work for in Oregon. I like to take all of the mistakes that I've learned from and all of the things that are working and help my clients to be successful. So I go into a business with a DISC assessment, which is a behavioral styles assessment. Sometimes people call them personality assessments. I assess every person in that business or a team or a department, depending on what it is that they need. And then I do a 1-hour debrief and coaching session with each person, which is what the big difference is with me as compared to just doing an online assessment. From there, we find out what motivates the staff, what their strengths are, what their best work environment is, and how to communicate with them with and a whole lot more. Once I find out all of that, I go back to the stakeholder, business owner, manager, give them the feedback, and then start the coaching process from there. So a lot of times it's with the owner or manager, and then sometimes we will do some employees or teams of employees to help out any kind of communication or culture issues.
Okay.
So that's how I start.
What verticals? What industry specifically?
So obviously I do a lot of automotive because I speak their language.
Sure.
A lot of that, insurance agencies, Christian small businesses. And then I actually work with a few solopreneurs as well, just helping them in business. So therapists are great because they need somebody to listen to them. I mean, they have a lot of secondary trauma, and sometimes they just need to talk about their business or something else with someone that they can trust.
Sure.
So they're a good referral for me.
Sure. Okay. Where are they? Are they all over the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I was doing Zoom before COVID ever hit.
Okay. And I wanted to talk some about the DISC assessment as well. How has that been kind of a tool for you, and how have you implemented that as in businesses with, you know, because I know talking about the DISC with you some a little bit and really still want to get that implemented in my company. I think it's very valuable to kind of really get into the nitty gritty of what makes people tick. And how to put those people in the most successful situation for their personality type. So explain to me a little bit more about that process and the type of value that it brings to you as you're going through this kind of this culture audit of these companies.
Yeah, so what it does is it's exactly that. It's a tool, right? So it gives me a non-threatening way to go into a business. And it is, we go in because we want to find out how to best help that staff member work in that job or work in that company. So it's all about them. It's all about finding ways to make sure that they are successful. And that's how we go in. And during that process, I use my coaching background to ask a few more questions and hopefully pull out what's really happening within that culture. That's where the key is, to finding out where the communication breakdown is. Could they be doing a job a little bit differently? Could we be communicating to them in a different way? I'll give you an example. I have a manager in one of my shops that is high IS, and he's got very little C and very little D, which means he's not really task-oriented. He's developed skills to get his job done, otherwise he wouldn't be a manager. But I went to him and said, hey, I need you to create a job position, because the state of Oregon wants us to create job titles. And I need you to create an SOP for this. And I just kind of left it with them and walked away. Well, being the DISC expert I am, I didn't even bother to look at his profile and say, well, gosh, he's not task oriented. So I kept checking back with him. It's not done. I checked back with him. It's not done. It's not, he doesn't take things from his head to go to the paper. He's more verbal. He can tell you what he does, but to do it the other way is very difficult for him. So I set him up for failure rather than saying, hey, office manager, who's a high C, why don't you go interview manager? Ask him what he does here and write it down for him. Let him communicate that to you. He could have gotten the job done faster and easier had I looked at that and just done it in the way that he communicates, the way he performs. So that's kind of the thing that we're looking at in other companies is, why are we asking people to work outside their strengths instead of saying, you're really good at this, let's do more of that?
Okay. Tell me, and I want to ask this because I come from a company where we're mostly sales. Acquisition is the majority of our job, and what we're responsible for on a day-to-day basis is, you know, generating leads and taking care of our clients and acquiring new clients. What is the structure there at your company, kind of how is the from the top down structured in your own company And are salespeople something? I mean, obviously, I know that salespeople are something that you work with a lot, but is that something that you kind of have to take case by case? As you know, what are these people selling? What does that entail? Because obviously, the automotive sales process is a lot different from the merchant services sales process. So, how do you incorporate that stuff with salespeople across different industries?
So one of the assessments that we use is based on the sales process. So it gives, you know, what your behavioral styles are. And then if you're a D, how do you sell to an I? If you're an I, how do you sell to an S and a C? So it is really, it doesn't matter the industry. Any industry is fine. So here, when we're up front and let's say, excuse me, we have someone who comes in who's already done their homework. They've Googled what's wrong with their car. They come in with a sheet of stuff. They think they already know what's wrong with their car. They've done all of this research and they come to you with all of it printed out. Well, they're probably a high C. So my staff knows, okay, you need to make sure that they know every single thing that you're doing. They need to feel like you know what you're doing. And the sales process changes when you're selling to a C as opposed to a D, who's probably just going to go in, here's my keys, I'm really busy, let me know when it's done, and then they're off, right? They really don't want every single little detail, but the C does. So depending on where you are in what company, a C, like if you're talking to somebody about merchant services, they're going to want to know, how much is it going to save me? How often is this going to come up? What's the percentage? You know what I mean? They sure. want the details, the nitty gritty little details, as opposed to some of the other styles.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And so industry aside, what is the effect look like when you go through your process with a company? What are some of the effects or the changes that you see them make up front that have kind of the most, you know, make the most impact?
Yeah. I think it's the interpersonal relationships. And then once that is established, then it's working on the overall culture. So, I have a client that's an automotive shop and, there's some people who work there that are part of the family and then others that aren't. In those instances, sometimes, the other employees think that the family members are getting special treatment. So how do we communicate in a way those family members that are working in there that shows that they are part of the team? I have a client that has a printout of everybody on his team, and now he communicates completely differently based on that printout and everybody else's behavioral style. His credibility is now coming up where he was lacking in credibility just because he was the owner's son. But because he's trying harder than everybody else and learning everybody else's communication style, that really helps with his credibility, and it also helps with the culture overall.
Sure. What are some of the identifiers of these companies? I can imagine companies that are having issues with their sales process or companies that are having issues with employee retention. What are some of the other symptoms that may lead someone? And I guess I should proceed with that question. Are these people coming to you, or are you marketing and going through a sales process or networking to find these people?
I do a lot of networking, and then I get a lot of referrals from people in my industry, and then just networking. So the identifiers are employee turnover is huge, culture issues, a lot of fighting within the business. Those are really great referrals. Also, though, businesses who are excited about taking care of their staff. People who care about their staff want to do more in training. There's a different level of company, let's just say in the automotive industry. There's a lot of people in the automotive industry that are not a good fit for me because they don't care as much about training and about taking care of their staff. But if it's someone who, you know, a lot of my clients are the people who say that when their staff members are having problems, they sit down with them and they want to hear about it. They want to help them. So it's the people that really care about what's going on in their business that are a great referral for me.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And what is the average, what does that client look like for you? Because I could see, in my mind, I go to the older business owner that is a little more absent in their business, have been in business a lot of time and don't really have a hold on, you know, aren't as present in that company culture, where I could see a big need to kind of have that reflection, as well as I could see some of these really young technology companies taking a look at how do we, you know, involve this company culture and make this something that we can replicate over a long time. What does your ideal client look like? You know, who is that person? Is it usually men business owners? Is it more commonly women? I was just wondering if there were any of those identifiers or demographics that were more specifically easier to cater to or more frequently looking to have this conversation.
Yeah, right now, and it's just because it's mostly automotive industry, 90% of my clients are men. And I would say 80% of them are high Ds, which means very task oriented. They have a hard time communicating. They have a hard time slowing down to listen. And I love those clients because I'm a high D. And sure. I know what it's like to have to adapt and, you know, stop on my way in the shop to acknowledge my staff and not just go straight to my office and start getting the work done. That doesn't work for them. What works for them is for me to stop in and check in and see how they're doing.
Sure.
But when you're a high D, it's you have to change. You have to adapt and stop and change your habits before going on and completing your task. And as an owner, you've got a million things going on in your head and you just want to get the next thing done. But what we sometimes don't realize is working with the people around us is going to make that load a lot easier for us if we just slow down a little bit and listen.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I could see that. And I can imagine that someone going through that professional change is probably a good potential client for you as well. People that are, you know, either changing their roles or changing companies to kind of fit a need that they haven't filled before is probably a good kind of reflective time.
Yeah. So what we find is most companies put somebody in leadership because they're good at their job. That doesn't mean that they're good at leading.
Sure.
So before we go there, it's often a good time to put them through a DISC assessment and find out what their leadership skills are, what their communication styles are, and how they're already communicating with the people around them before we set them up for failure.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a whole nother kind of ballpark there. How much percentage of your business is kind of reactive to problems that already exist rather than proactive to, you know, put that structure in place of what this is going to look like moving forward?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think I would say 70% of it's reactive and 30% of it is proactive. And that's unfortunately what most businesses do. They wait until it hurts before they want to try and fix it.
Right? Sure. Sure. Well, that's honestly 70-30 is more of a, you know, it's a higher portion of people that are proactive about it than I figured. You know, just knowing business owners and knowing kind of how their mind works and how it's so easy to get caught up in those day-to-day tasks. You know, you're always behind. You know, I could understand that. I wanted to ask as well, who initiates these conversations? You know, who is it that is someone that would diagnose, you know, not really diagnose, but, you know, perceive that problem originally? Is it usually the owner? Is it usually a salesperson coming to them and saying, hey, we're having this issue? Is it usually a director or manager coming to them and saying, hey, I want to, you know, put in some structure so that we can keep, you know, outlining what this looks like moving forward? How does that conversation begin with you usually?
All of the above. So it just depends on who I have the connection with. And then it goes from there. So often it's the owner or high level manager. And then just opening up that conversation and seeing what the needs are in the business. And then sometimes it's, you know, I'm networking somewhere and somebody's complaining about things that are going on in their business. Or, gosh, I really wish I had you in our business or you could help us. And then we kind of go from there.
Sure. Sure. Who are there some other like tools or industries where you kind of refer some issues that you find that other people can help? Are there some other businesses that you work with where, you know, you come in and they're usually kind of a part of your package and you refer over to them?
So there are other people that I love to refer. Kaylin is one of them. And so she's great with the hiring process. I also help with hiring process, but she helps with getting a lot of people in the door and then keeping track of them with her systems. And then I actually do interviews for some of my clients and interview some of their potential candidates. And then Sandra Kearney does a lot of training that I don't do that she could come in and do if I see a need. So, and then sometimes I refer out to therapists because a lot of times what starts as just business goes into personal, which is okay. But once it gets into therapy, that's not something that I'm qualified to deal with. So I'll bring in a therapist or refer out a therapist.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. How are you looking to grow in 2021? I know 2021 hopefully is a lot different year than what 2020 looked like for us, but what's the growth plan?
You know, I'd like to get probably about, 3 more businesses on board because they take up a lot of time when we're coaching the entire business. And do a yearly plan with them because what we find is real change doesn't happen until at least 4 months into the coaching process. And then we really need time to set that change and keep it, right? And then keep the education throughout the business. So I like to keep people for at least 6 to 12 months.
Okay. That makes sense. And I'm assuming the workload up front changes kind of based on what those companies looks like. How long, if someone wanted to retain your services, do you have companies that kind of just keep you on a retainer or, you know, pay you monthly just in case they need to call you and resolve something? Or is usually like that, you know, 12 month period, 18 month, 24 month period you guys decide on, is it usually kind of end of life of the work you guys do together after that? Or is it kind of recurring?
Well, most of my clients are 6 to 12 months, and then it's just whenever they need me after that. I'm meeting with someone today that I haven't talked to in 2 months that just needs a little bit of a checkup. So we're going to go over some things that are happening in his business. Same thing happened 2 weeks ago with a client that I hadn't talked to in a month, and now she needs to check in. So, it's more cost effective to do it on the 6 to 12 month, but every now and then for a check-in is okay too.
Sure. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And how can we help? We always ask that on the podcast. I think we got a pretty thorough understanding of what, you know, kind of you do in your background, and obviously your lovely background virtually, I almost said literally, but I guess virtually fits better. Your beautiful virtual background here is something that, you know, definitely inspires us to want to come out there west and, you know, stay in the loop with you. But how can we help? You know, obviously we do the networking group. You're more than welcome to come to any of that, the podcast, any you or your clients, anyone that, you know, wants to have this longer form conversation about what they're looking for and what they're doing. We're more than happy to open the doors of those people, but, you know, tell us how we can be a part of what you got going on in 2021.
Well, thank you. So I think anytime you're going into a business or talking to a business owner, maybe just asking, you know, how's the culture? You know, how's your employee retention? Are you having any issues with communication? What does that look like? So just those questions inside of a small business, especially like a Christian-owned small business or an automotive shop, insurance agency, those are all great referrals for me.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll keep you, we have plenty of those in our networking sphere. So we'll keep that in mind as we always do. And it's very exciting. You know, I have a lot of faith in you ever since we started this networking opportunity, started the LinkedIn stuff. I got to meet with you, had the faith to kind of show me the intricacies of your business from the inside and let me know how you guys were operating things, which was very educational to me. I didn't have a ton of experience specifically in your industry, so continuing to learn and see how those things worked is something that I appreciate that you guys are able to do for me. So anything that we can do to involve you guys in anything we have going on, I think you guys know that the door is wide open for that. And I appreciate you guys, you know, continuing to be a part of our network. You know, our network drives everything that we do for our business as well. It drives all of our referrals, it drives all of our networking, and it drives all of our value. It drives all of our time is giving back to the people that have, you know, taken that chance on us to do right by their clients. And you're one of those people, and we really appreciate you. So I appreciate you coming on today. And then, like I said, if there's anything else that we can do for you, let me know. But I want, you know, just in case anyone out there is hearing this that is looking to get in touch with you or inquire about your service, how do people get in touch with you or where can they find you online?
You can find me at coachlisamk.com.
Okay, cool. And your LinkedIn is your name. Yep. Very active on LinkedIn. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Yep.